Good morning, guys. My name is Tim Bresnahan. I'm a sophomore here at Union, and first, like to say that's an honor to be here to speak. And my prayer is that I can encourage you with my story. Basically, just the time leading up to my arrival at Union and how the Lord really just blessed me despite a lot of tough times and blatant rebellion towards the Lord, essentially. Quickly, I was born and raised in New England, Massachusetts, and Maine. Moved all around that area. And after high school, I graduated in 1998 and ended up in Chicago. And the Lord opened up an opportunity for me to work at BMW. In corporate sales and marketing, which to this day blows my mind. In all intents and purposes, I shouldn't have had that job. Didn't have a high school degree. Had very little knowledge, and in fact, my grades in high school were pretty poor. I didn't put a lot of time into it. I was afraid of failure and lived in quite a bit of sin. I was just afraid to work hard because I thought, man, if I put this effort in and I fail, how demoralizing that would be. And so I worked in sales and marketing, as I said, for 2.5 years. And I grew up in a Christian home, really loved the Lord, but as time went by, I was overwhelmed with the wealth that was bestowed upon me, driving BMW company cars and making a salary that I probably will never make again when I leave school, but I just love that money. I lusted for that money. You know, I looked at my bank account, looked at my 401k, and I'm like, man, I'm on top of the world. And I really put Christ on the back burner completely. And as I said, growing up in a Christian home, there's things that I did that I never assumed I would. I was an athlete, so definitely would never drink. Definitely, that's not even an option. Of course, I started to drink. I think the first corporate party I went to, I fought it for a couple hours, and the guys knew I was a Christian, and I was like, no, it's okay, I won't. And one social drink, and then another, and over time, I began a habit of drinking, and it tore me down. It was just a downward spiral. I was miserable. I was living on my own. My family had no idea. I was living miles from my parents in Chicago. I had my own condo, and I put on that mask, you know, and I really hid behind that well. October 2nd, 2003, the Lord really just broke that. He took that away. That mask was demolished. I was in a car accident that nearly killed me. I was doing about 50 around the turn in a BMW M3, and for all you guys up there, it's a fast car, and I was just kind of hot-dogging, if you will. And I plowed into a tree without a seatbelt. And that's pretty much all I remember. For about a week, I was in and out of consciousness. And all those friends that I had established and developed around me because of what I had, and different girlfriends of mine that pretty much used me because it's typically the joke of a trophy girlfriend. Well, maybe I was that trophy boyfriend because of my job. And nobody came to the hospital, you know, except for my family. And it really showed me who my friends were. And thank the Lord I'm here today, and I give him credit. He basically said, Timothy, despite your hatred and rebellion towards me, I'm not done with you. He spared me here today, and I just give him credit for that. I'm blind in my left eye because of the accident. My head trauma on a scale of 1 to 4, according to the neurosurgeon, was a 4. He had never seen anybody in my case come out alive. And everybody just said, hey, you know, you're driving a BMW, and they're safe cars. And for a while, I went with that. Yeah, you know, that's fine. But as I've shared with some of the people, you know, I could have been driving a Sherman tank, and if Christ wanted to take me out of this world, he would have snatched me, and I wouldn't be here today. So I just... I love him. Despite of all that turmoil, I've recommitted my life to the Lord. I laid in the hospital bed, and when I woke up, just in horrible pain, and I said, Lord, you know, I've heard you. I've lied, turned my back on you. But I love you. I'm sorry. Just make me new again. And he brought me back. And I'm just so thankful to be here. Through the 7 months of healing in a hospital bed, I found out about union. I never heard of union in my life. I'm like, what's this? But I got some catalogs, and it was evidently clear that Christ was leading me here to union. And I'm grateful to be here, and hopefully I can encourage you guys. It's been tough at times. I want to go back. I want to leave here. I still have, at times, just like, Lord, if I just had another $1,000, you know, I'm paying for my own schooling. And man, if I just, but he's always provided, and we're working through that. And like I said, just grateful to be here and encourage you guys. And just one last thing, if any of you guys are struggling with a checkered past or just of sin or involved with drinking or whatever the case is, it may be simple, just a little white lies or anything, God is there. If you just call on him, he wants a relationship with you guys. And I know it's union, we're a Christian school, but I know there's a lot of hurting people out there. I hid in an environment like this a lot of my life. My dad's a pastor. In fact, they're missionaries right now. And it really doesn't matter. So don't put stock in our flesh because of our upbringing. That will not save you. Christ alone will save you. Don't put stock or faith in union. It's a great university, but that alone will not save you. It's Christ. And so I encourage anyone here that does not know the Lord. I know there's probably people in here right now, we assume it's a Christian college, everybody has a relationship with Christ. If you don't know Christ, call out to him today. Talk to some mature professors and mature students here, Andy Pettigrew, even myself. We love your soul, and beyond that, Christ loves your soul, and he wants a relationship with you. So cry out to him. If you have any questions, just grab somebody, and I'm more than willing to help. So thanks a lot, guys. Have a good day. Appreciate it.
Go ahead, stand with us. rest of you, not enough. You give me more than I ever have one friend in my life. Give you my heart and my soul.
Psalm 96, 1-9. Sing to the Lord a new song. Sing to the Lord all the earth. Sing to the Lord, praise his name, proclaim his salvation day after day. Declare his glory among the nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples. For great is the Lord and most worthy of praise is he to be feared above all gods. For all the gods of the nations are idols, but the Lord made the heavens. Splendor and majesty are before him. Strength and glory are in his sanctuary. Ascribe to the Lord, O families of nations. Ascribe to the Lord glory and strength. Ascribe to the Lord the glory due his name. Bring an offering and come into his courts. Worship the Lord in splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
You guys, I guess, can go ahead and be seated. I don't really want you to stand through my talk. That would be really weird. Good morning. My name is Beth McDowell, and I am a junior nursing major here at Union. And this morning, I kind of wanted to talk to you guys about my experience this summer, how I got to the camp that I worked at, and just kind of what God taught me while I was there. This summer, God presented me with the opportunity to be a camp counselor at Kids Across America, otherwise known as KAA. KAA is an inner-city Christian sports camp. Which is located over by Branson. It's associated with Canacook. And I went in for an interview, and I was told a little bit later they wanted me to teach hip-hop while I was there. And I'm sure that was probably the last thing that some of you would expect me to teach. It was the last thing I expected me to teach. I was wondering if they had seen me. They didn't notice that I was blonde and about 5'10 and blue eyes. I didn't know what I was going to do in an inner-city camp. I grew up in the country. I was scared out of my mind, but God kept laying this on my heart to go ahead and take this position and go to this camp. At this point in time, I'd been studying in Jeremiah, and Jeremiah had been, God had given him a task, and he felt really inadequate and like a child. And in Jeremiah 1:7, God just says, you know, don't say to me, I'm only a child. Go to where I send you and say what I command you, and I'll be with you. So I was like, all right, God, I'm going to go. I'm gonna do this, and I'm going to trust that you'll give me the strength to say what I need to say to these to kids, to teach them dance, and just most of all, show them your love and just tell them what you've done in my life and how you've changed me. I thank God that he presented me with that opportunity. It grew me more than anything. For one reason, I was felt so inadequate that I had to rely on God for my entire strength. And the truth was, I was inadequate. I wasn't worthy of the task he was giving me, but I served a God who was adequate and was worthy enough to give me the strength I needed. So one of the things at Canacook, or at KAA, that they challenge us to do is to share the gospel with the kids 7 times a day. And we shared Roman Roads with them, and we had kids from all over, from Chicago, New York, St. Louis, Springfield. We even had kids, there was a group that came from Jackson, even right in this own area. And so we would share the gospel with these kids, but not only was it important for us to share, but Christ had to be evident in every single part of our lives. Just in Ephesians 4, when it talks about living a life worthy of the calling we've received, and being gentle with these kids and just bearing them in love. They didn't just look at our words, but they looked at how we acted, whether we were disciplining them. One of the big things there is when you discipline a kid, you do it with them. If they were disrespectful, I would normally, it's a sports camp, so we would run suicides, and I would go out there and run suicides with them. And that was a great opportunity. I know it may seem kind of mean, but it gave us a chance to spend one-on-one time with them and just get to know their hearts. And there was always something else going on. Just the lives they'd come from just broke my heart. Just to pray with them. We prayed with the kids one-on-one at night before they went to bed. And at first they were really like, we don't need any prayer. And then they would start to open us to it later on and ask us questions. And whether we were just talking to them or teaching a dance class, they looked at everything that we did, how we behaved. They would ask us why we were different. Where did our joy come from? And I loved those opportunities just to be able to share with them. And one girl I want to talk to you about, her name was Dee Dee. And Dee Dee was a 13-year-old girl from Memphis, and she lived in inner city Memphis. And Dee Dee was probably one of the hardest kids for me to work with. When she got off the bus, and I was like, hi, my name's Beth, I'm going to be your counselor, she looked at me and said, I just want to let you know that I'm going to tell you if I don't like you or if I do, and you're not my mama, you can't tell me what to do. And I was like, okay, well, alrighty. Let's go ahead and go to the cabin. And I was like, oh Lord, what am I gonna do with this girl? And she was very disrespectful and made it very clear that she didn't want to be there. She didn't believe what we said. She wanted to go home. She was just hard. She picked fights with all the other kids. But God really laid this girl on my heart, and because she acted up a lot, I got a lot of time to spend one-on-one with her, running suicides or doing crunches or push-ups. And I just got to know her heart and what had gone on in her life. Dee Dee grew up in a very poor family. Her father had left her when she was very young, and she was very bitter about that and did not really understand how she could have a heavenly father that loved her, because she had no example before. Like, she didn't have an earthly father who had loved her. She didn't really know her mom. Her mom really wasn't around much, and she felt alone and unloved. And just got to share with Dee Dee how God had created her, and he knew every hair on her head and his love for her, and got to see her change. And one day Dee Dee was just like, okay, I think I want to do this save thing, so what do I have to do? And I just got to talk to her and answer some of the questions that she had, and she's like, all right, I'm gonna do this. And I thank God that Dee Dee accepted Christ, and she was so excited. She wanted to know what I was reading in the Bible and how to do a Bible study, and she learned Romans Road so she could go home and tell everyone back at home and her mom, and just share the love that she had. And I just want to close in encouraging you guys to take every opportunity that God presents. Just know that people are watching. They watch how you act, what you listen to. And if you're going to call yourself a Christian, then live a life worthy of the calling. So thank you.
I would ask that you bow your heads and listen prayerfully as I confess Psalm 67. May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face shine upon us, that your ways may be known on earth, your salvation among all the nations. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. May the nations be glad and sing for joy, for you rule the peoples justly and guide the nations of the earth. May the peoples praise you, O God. May all the peoples praise you. Then the land will yield its harvest, and God, our God, will bless us. God will bless us, and all the ends of the earth will fear him.
Good morning. My name is Michael Pugh, and I'm from Cullman, Alabama. I'm a sophomore here at Union. Andy asked me to share with you guys a little bit about what I did this summer and where I was. I was in Peru. I left the States June 1st and got back July 24th. I was on a traveling soccer team that went around the country, and we did ministry. We had scheduled games that we would do in the mountains, in the jungle, on the coast. And how we did it is we would play the game, and then after the game, we would talk to the players. Not only the players, we would talk to people who were in the stands. And when I was first there, I was kind of skeptical about how the ministry was going to work playing soccer, especially because I played my whole life and I'm competitive and I want to win. I don't like to lose. So first of all, that was a small struggle, playing and realizing that we weren't there to play soccer, we were there to glorify God. But crowds came. It was unbelievable how we had the opportunity to share the gospel. It wouldn't be 10 to 12 people who we would share the gospel with just on the soccer team. It would be 200 to 300. People came from all around. In one village, I think the most we had was around 400 people. And every single person had the opportunity to hear the gospel. And what was even cooler is that it wasn't just who wants to accept Christ today, and people raise their hand, and then we leave and say, a lot of people accepted Christ today. In the villages we were in, there were usually two girls left in the villages to do follow-up work, to start discipleships in homes. And so it wasn't another mark in the book of how many people we've witnessed to. It was, we made disciples, and that's what God's called us to do, to make disciples of all nations. I just wanted to tell you guys a little bit about one thing that I really remember, and it was really touched in my heart. We were in a village called Hembe, which was all the way up the coast, about 12-hour bus ride, and up into the mountains. And around this village, there were 32 villages that had no access to the gospel. They don't speak Spanish. They speak a language called Quechua, which is the native language there. And they absolutely have no access to the gospel. And in Hembe, there is one church of about 25 people. And when we got there that night, it was really the first church service I had been to, but they shared their hearts about how they longed to share the gospel with these people, and how God had given them the desire that he had given me of going to the neighboring communities and sharing the gospel. And as a missionary, that's really what you want to hear. There, your job is done. You've built up leaders in that community, and now they're willing to go out and share the gospel, which is really exciting for the missionaries there. Now they can leave and just do follow-up work and make sure they have sound teaching. But also, another thing that God really showed me, and it's just really amazing to realize this, is when I was in that church, they began to do, we sang some songs, and I just stood in the back, and I just watched how they worshiped. They worship in a totally different way, in a totally different language, on a totally opposite side of the world. And to sit back and realize that is the exact same God that we worship. And this morning, we worship here, they worship there, in the same God, in different ways, but God is still glorified, and God loves them just as much as he loves us. And so, the main thing I learned was just how big God is, and how much he loves each and every one of us. And he may send us across the world, or he may send us into Jackson, but God has called us to make disciples, and he loves us. And one more thing, there's a soccer game tonight, 6. It's going to be a good game. Thanks.
glorify thy name. Glorify thy name in all the earth.
You guys are dismissed.